This is Megatron. This is the glorious Megatron. And this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, DFG and Mike, and I am joined by Steve Megatron with a monitor beeping sound, and Pecan Court Michael. Hey guys.
Hey.
Yo.
So how
like
guys?
A song.
What?
Hey.
Hey. Yo.
How have you guys been?
Good.
Yes. What have you been up to, Michael?
I was lucky enough to find the Walmart and Target exclusives. So I have a very tiny Devastator.
Ah, yeah. It's movie, who cares?
It's movie stuff, I give a rat's ass. But, I dug this when I first saw it coming out for Japan, and I thought, you know, why did we get this big-ass $100 Devastator that doesn't have individual robot modes, and Japan gets this cute little, you know, Legends class one, and each one of these has individual robot modes. And I thought we really got gypped, but when it came out here, I wanted one.
Uh-huh. Cool.
And now they have a green version, a G1 homage, in Japan, and it's like, oh, I want that too. They're never going to bring that to the U.S., but it's like, aw.
Yeah.
I want one.
Yes. Recently, at least since the last episode that we did of this show, you have a child that likes to ride the vacuum. It's a new roller coaster.
Yeah. We have a Kirby, and the front of the Kirby is shaped in such a way where he can kind of put his feet on it and kind of ride it like a motorcycle almost. Except backwards, where he's kind of holding on to the front of it, but it's fun to watch. I actually put a video up of it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I had a video on Facebook, and, you know, a couple people, including you, were prodding me to put it up on YouTube, so.
That's because everybody watches YouTube videos more than Facebook.
Well, I think sometimes with Facebook you have to have an account or be friends with someone in order to see their stuff.
True.
Whereas on YouTube, everybody can see it.
True.
But no, it's a really cute video.
Yeah, it is.
Out there.
Yes. Steve, what have you been up to?
Well, I went through and plundered in my dad's attic and discovered much of my Batman the Animated Series figures in pretty damn good condition. Plus, I also found a bunch of old, like, just anything ranging from, like, G.I. Joe, Batman movies, Batman the Animated Series, Star Trek, all kinds of, like, crazy shit in my dad's attic, so.
Cool. Yes.
I sell some of it, and I've recently bought the first season to Batman Beyond and Batman the Animated Series.
Good deal. Mm-hmm. I have, well, since the last time that we recorded episode 3, I have turned 30, unfortunately. I am now in my 30s.
Old.
Yeah, not as old as you, Mr. 1973.
I got a few years on you.
Yeah, exactly. And I got a crap ton of stuff for my birthday, including a Flip Minnow HD camcorder. I got a crap ton of Mighty Mugs. I finally finished off my G.I. Joe Mighty Mugs. I'm actually getting a few more in the week that this airs. I'll probably get them by the Wednesday after this airs. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. Pretty much between that and podcasting, not much else really going on.
Fun.
Yes. So I believe we are going to get into some episodes.
song. Nobody takes it off. Understand? You hear me? I'll blow your slagging heads off!
No, Big Bot!
Hold on there! Get off of me!
Yes! Listen to him!
I don't fear you. I don't fear any of you!
I thought that thing was supposed to turn him into a coward.
No doubt that was its intention. But Scorponok is notoriously incompetent. I would say instead that we have a berserker. Interesting.
Optimus can beat it! Come on, Big Bot, fight against it! You can do it! Please.
It's too much. I can't fight it. Disarm my weapons. Lock me up.
Dying. Scorponok. Yes, I've been waiting for your report.
I stuck it to a Megatron. And good!
Excellent. And the antivirus?
Just one! Like you said! Right behind you!
By now, Optimus Primal has most assuredly exchanged his courage for a nice, cowardly yellow stripe. Yes, but he will not want to stay that way. No. So when he leads his misguided mechanoids on a futile raid for this antivirus, it will be their final battle in the Beast Wars.
First up today is Guerrilla Warfare. While examining local flora, Optimus Primal and Dinobot are attacked by Scorponok, who launches one of his cyber bees at Optimus. The bee attaches itself to Optimus, Scorponok flees, and the two Maximals return to the Axelon. Rhinox explains that the bee has infected Optimus with a virus that turns the victim into such a coward that his leadership abilities will be compromised. But everyone is in for a shock when the Maximal Commander bursts out of the repair CR chamber filled with aggression, weapons at the ready, and of a mind to take on the Predacons by himself.
It's Transformers 28 Days Later.
it's
the rage virus.
Yes.
And it came from monkeys too.
Oh, good call.
Oh wow, that's so wrong.
Optimus the Ebola monkey.
You know, Dinobot's always looking for a fight was my first note that I made on this one. You know, I know that's his nature. I know that, yes, deep down he is still a Predacon and he wants to destroy stuff, but, I mean, you know, Christ, we're what, 12 episodes into this show, and they can't find somewhat of a better plot device for him other than always wanting to fight?
Well, I think that's kind of the nice thing about this episode is he, you know, transcends that a little bit. He starts off saying, you know, well, I should say he starts off with Optimus being the peaceful explorer, looking at plants, and Dinobot saying, I just want to kick ass. And by the end of the episode, you've got, you know, a slightly mellower Dinobot who's, you know, giving people flowers.
True, true.
And then he's saying, play with me.
Where's my little pony?
Apocalypse pony.
You know, off air, Michael and I were talking about the cultural references in this show as far as, like, one will come up later in Victory, but I caught one in here. Dinobot says something about dinner salad. Hello, this is prehistoric Earth. Yes, I get the timeline of the Beast Wars Transformers. They were in the future, then they went into the past. I get that. But, I mean, come on. Ugh.
You don't think they eat salad for dinner?
No, I don't, considering all they do is drink Energon all day, or they try
like
to drink...
toss salad, though.
Oh, God.
They'll toss your salad.
They're out there alone. They got nothing better to do.
A primer primal.
A primer primal?
Yeah.
Cause... As opposed to a standard kind.
Well,
when he's very angry, he's
yes,
mortified.
Yes. Makes,
oh, okay. So you're saying that the anger level is directly related to his primeness.
Yes.
I thought it was funny where they called him a berserker, because I was reminded of Clerks.
Clerks. Yep.
My love for you is like a rock berserker.
Would you like to? Anyway.
I thought it was fuck.
Well, it's not the one I was going for. Yeah, would you like to suck me? Yeah, we're not going there anyway.
Berserker.
Scorponok, what a fool you are. Because the original intent was to make Optimus, a coward. And instead they made him all angry and I'm going to kick ass.
I like that. Was this the first use of Scorponok's Cyber Bee?
Yeah, I believe it was. Steve?
Steve would know if he wasn't asleep.
Steve?
Holy Christ, he's asleep.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
For a second there, I thought you dropped out of the freaking conversation. Is Guerrilla Warfare the first episode that we see a Cyber Bee from Scorponok?
I'm almost pretty sure this is the first time that we've seen one.
Okay. Yeah, I think it is because we. That, yeah, I would have made a note of it beforehand if we hadn't, or if we had.
No,
go ahead.
I was gonna say I think this episode is really where they Hasbro approached them and said, "Hey, look, we're really gonna need to see you show off more of the toys, because if you look at the Scorponok toy, he's got the Cyber Bee." Which is it's kind of neat. It's kind of cool. If you look at the Optimus toy, he's got the battle mask. He's got the swords. He's got the flip out shoulder cannons, and they never really showed those before.
Right.
He was always just shooting at them, whereas now, it's like, hey, I've got swords and I've I look like freaking G1 Optimus Prime now. And check out my flip out shoulder cannons.
They showed the battle mask a couple of times before. I think.
I don't think I've seen it. I saw it here, and I saw it once on Victory. But I think this is the first time I've seen it.
What, his battle mask?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's already used it.
Hmm.
I could have sworn I've seen it before too. I don't remember what episode, but I couldn't...
I don't remember either offhand, but I know he's used it already.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing it. Well, regardless, it looks badass.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that and, as he proceeds to, get torn up, they show off a really nice, kind of a battle-damaged mode for him.
Right, right.
It's just all beat up.
Yes. I don't remember who did it to him or what part of the episode this happened in, but there is a Waspinator splat alert.
Okay.
How is that any different than any other time?
Because last time when there was a Waspinator splat alert, it was Rhinox's Gatling gun, and I love Rhinox's Gatling gun.
Was the last one the Gatling gun or the rock?
No, it was the Gatling gun. It might have... Well... That's one of the ones that I remember from the last... You're right, it probably was the rock, but... I don't think he actually went splat in this episode, though. I think he got shot up or something. Oh, no, I know what it was. It was when Primer Primal was in the...
He busts
in the base.
Through the wall.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he pulls him through the wall and bitch slaps him. That's right, yeah. So it's not technically a splat alert, but... It kind of is, because...
It's a whoop-ass.
Yeah. Shit just happens to Waspinator. Yeah.
He totally did the RoboCop. comes through the wall.
Yeah.
It was like a Jaws moment, too. It was like, and then it went.
My last note, one of the things I absolutely enjoyed about this episode, Tarantulas gets stabbed the hell out of himself. Because Optimus just takes one of those swords and just goes,
oh, yeah, he says, stick around.
Yeah.
That was like a moment from a horror movie. It was awesome.
It was very cool.
Yes.
I like that. I was wondering, Optimus is you know, freaking out in the ship, and yet Sentinel doesn't kick in.
Yes, it does.
While he's on the bridge?
In the Axelon, you mean? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the alarms go off and he starts shooting them. And then the auto guns come on like 2 seconds later. Inside the bridge.
Inside, I don't remember the auto guns coming on. I just remember shooting on all the lights.
Well, no, he shot the alarms. The red alarms, because the red alarms came down.
Right.
I don't know, Steve?
Yeah, there should be like guns and, you know, coming out of the
Steve
walls.
Steve what?
Did Sentinel activate when Primal went all berserk?
Yes, slightly. It was more of a like security precaution because it had weaponry being fired off.
So I don't remember there being weaponry. I just remember there being lights, which, you know, he blew up.
I don't know.
Which I thought was funny.
Well, he busted out of somewhere.
So. Yeah, he busted out of the CR chamber.
Yeah.
So he set everything off.
No, I think that was him shooting guns all over the place. I don't think Sentinel actually deployed.
Well, the alarms went off, but yeah, you're right. I don't think Sentinel's auto guns ever came on because it was Primal shooting at them.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I said.
Whatever. What else you got, Michael?
My favorite quote. That's from Rat Trap. What if he goes all ape slag on us? He's gonna go ape shit.
If I hadn't already selected the quote for this episode, that would probably be the quote for this episode, but.
Oh. What if he goes ape slag? I thought ape slag was awesome. I thought it ended very well with Dinobot kind of becoming more soft. I don't want to say soft and mellow, but. His bedside manner improved.
Quite literally.
Yeah, exactly.
I think one of the things, and actually it will become, whenever Steve gets it done, it will become the episode art, but the whole point of the Cyber Bee is if you remove it, it automatically triggers a timer for it becomes a bomb.
Right.
And the whole point of this
kind does.
Huh?
This kind of Cyber Bee does. Not all of them turn into bombs.
Okay, well, you're right, exactly. The one that's in this episode, if you detach it without disconnecting it, it becomes a bomb. And the whole point of this episode is so, you know, we can learn from whatever, from nature, from whatever. And, you know, Optimus or Cheetor, I forget which one, throws the bomb on Megatron and it lands where the plant landed on Dinobot's neck, where he couldn't reach it. So Megatron has Scorponok get it off. They're holding it in their hands, and they cut. Both Megatron and Scorponok have a Looney Tunes moment with, like, eyes bugging out and everything else. That will be the episode art for this episode.
Nice.
Yes. Steve, what did you think of this one?
Well, I definitely think this is one of, I mean, even though it wasn't really, like, super important, I do think it was important for the fact that some of the characters did evolve and get a little bit more in tune, like Dinobot and everybody, but it also shows that Primal does deep down have a darker side that drives him.
Right.
That should he decide to channel it, he could really stomp everybody's ass.
And of course, that darker side will come out in Beast Machines a little bit sometimes.
Oh yes.
What else did you like, Steve?
Even though it didn't have Megatron in it really a whole lot, I did like the episode. I kind of liked how Primal just kind of wigged out on everybody. It was a different take on his character. Usually he's the calm and collected character that kind of drives everybody to do what they're supposed to, and in this one it was mostly Rat Trap and Dinobot calling the shots.
Would you say that now again, this kind of will evolve, and this is just my overall thinking of Cheetor's character. Would you say that Primal and Cheetor are almost like father and son?
Oh yeah, most definitely, because it gets revealed more as the show goes on that whenever one gets damaged or, you know, one thinks the other was blown away, they're just kind of, like, majorly impacted compared to everybody else.
Right.
But it could also be a mentor-ish complex that's going on between the two of them, too. Because Cheetor looks up to Primal.
Yeah. So do we have any other thoughts on, what the hell's the name of this episode?
Guerrilla
Warfare. Do we have any other thoughts on this?
No.
Alright, let's move on.
Transwarp ship Axelon, commanded by Optimus Primal, has not been found in normal space. We believe their pursuit of the Predacons who stole the Golden Disk may have taken them into another time zone.
Temporal probes launched.
If Optimus and his crew are anywhere out there, we'll find them, bring them home.
Next up is the probe, and as of note, we are doing this in air date order, not Rhino DVD order. Goddamn fucking Rhino. The probe. An unseen Maximal on Cybertron reports of the search for the crew of the missing Axelon. Probes are sent out to different sectors of space, past and present, in the hopes making contact with the lost Maximals back on the Planet of the Beast Wars. I like how they do that, Planet of the Beast Wars. I'll mention that in a second. Rhinox detects a Cybertronian satellite within this solar system and races on to build and emplace a radar dish in order to contact the probe. Why is it every time I look at the title of this episode, all I can think of is friggin' Cartman?
He's got a satellite dish out of his ass.
Yes. I never really read the booklet before on this, but I like how they say the planet that the Beast Wars are being held on instead of actually calling it what the fuck it really is.
They don't want to spoil it.
True. We all know it's Earth, but true.
Well, it's got two moons at this point. You don't really know. Mm. Although, you know, when the probe is making its way through the solar system, it looks an awful lot like the Sol system. I mean, it's clearly, this is Saturn, you know.
Right,
and
right.
Here's Uranus.
Yeah, Uranus.
Leave Uranus alone.
I don't want to touch Uranus.
Okay, enough.
You came awful close to Uranus there.
enough anus jokes. I really liked how Cybertron looks in Beast Wars, even though we don't see much of it. Well, I mean, we don't see much of it until, there's a difference, though. You really can't count this Cybertron as to what Cybertron becomes in Beast Machines. But, I mean, you know, just from what little we did see of it, I did like it.
Yeah.
The lens. Can you say G1 Transfixatron?
I was thinking that, yeah. Haven't I seen this before?
That's what we call a reused plot device.
Yes.
They said a cop-out.
Yes. I think this is the first episode that Dinobot gets his ass handed to him by Black Arachnia.
On a silver platter. Not even gold.
Yeah, no.
well, yeah, but despite the fact that she's kicking ass, she's not saying much again.
So she's not really taking names.
Oh, God. This episode's going to be full of bad puns.
You said puns.
Boobs.
No. I didn't say buns. I didn't say boobs. I said puns. There's a difference.
I know. I said that, too.
Yes.
See, if the transcript of this ever gets out and on Google, people will Google it and for boobs.
It'll come up. Big
I
pun.
Said it. Boobs. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a...
Shut up!
Yeah.
That's cool. The only other...
That's slag. Some cold slag right there.
That's some cold slag.
Pick your flavor.
Anyways, we're getting way off track. Last note I have is, for some odd reason, no going home this day. What would have happened if they actually got back? That's what I... Because, alright, basically this episode, if they had gotten to... If they were able to contact Cybertron, this would almost be like...
the end of the series?
Well, that too, but I was going to say Heavy Metal War.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you think about it, if they got to go home and the Predacons followed them,
yeah,
you know. Steve, what do you have for the probe?
Well, I got a comment about what you just said. It would actually be catastrophic for him if the Maximals did go home and the Predacons got left behind.
Okay, well, yeah, that's true. But we don't know any of that's happening yet, though.
Yeah, you don't actually know that this is Earth. They just, you know, they would just
spoiled
be
it. Damn you.
the Predacons would just be stuck there on this planet, and eventually they would, you know, rust over without ever knowing that the Ark is buried nearby.
Yes.
They would have no clue. In the beginning, which I thought was very cool, they were Cybertron, you know, they show Cybertron, which was neat. It wasn't like G1 Cybertron, but it was a nice representation. But they're shooting out these temporal probes. They're launching them. And it reminded me a lot of the scene early in Empire Strikes Back, where they're launching the probots from the Star Destroyer.
Oh.
And I looked all over for video of that as a comparison. And apparently Lucas has scrubbed the internet of any tiny bits of video of any of his movies.
Well, don't you have the movie on DVD?
I do not.
No. What?
I don't have. I have...
Okay,
no,
fork it over. Give us your geek license. What the hell?
Wait a minute, hold on.
No. You always reference, ever since you and I started doing podcasting, almost every single episode of TFG1, you brought up a Star Wars reference, and you don't have it on DVD.
I don't have it on DVD, but I do have 3 copies of the trilogy on VHS.
Oh, God.
And, you know, and I said, I'm not going to buy it on DVD. I made a conscious decision not to buy it on DVD. Because I knew, well, when it first came out, it was just the remastered ones where, Greedo shoots first. And I said, you know, I'm not buying that shit. And then finally they came out with another version that was, okay, we have one disc with the original, Hand Shoots First, and one with the remastered version, which is not only Greedo shooting first, but this time somebody photoshopped it so Hand looks like he's dodging a little bit, you know. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to buy this set either, because eventually it's going to come out on HD.
Yeah, Blu-ray.
So maybe I'll buy the Blu-ray set when it comes out. And you know it's going to come out.
Yes.
But it's like bad enough that I've got 3 versions of it on VHS. It's like, I really don't want to go out and spend another $100 on the DVD unless it's going to be really, really sweet. In fact, I might even wait for the 3D version.
Oh, don't. We're not bringing up anything 3D. I'm so sick of
3D. You know, Lucas is still going to go and make the whole thing 3D and release it on a hologram video or whatever the hell it is at that point. And
I'm so sick of 3D.
I'm so sick of Star Wars.
I like Star Wars. I really dig Star Wars.
We are so sick of Star Trek.
Well, you know what? I'm sick of Berman and
sick
Braga. I'm so sick of you.
Okay, well, okay, we're getting way off track here. So back to Beast Wars, the probe.
Yeah. Oh, the probe. Yeah, that's right. Hey, my ass.
wow, Cartman made an appearance on the show.
Yes.
Another thing that bothered me about this particular episode was that you've got this Transfixitron lens floating around. Did anybody think just jump behind Tarantulas? Wouldn't that have made the most sense? He's like 5 feet away from you. You could have jumped behind him, and then he would have got hit.
Then it's like, ha, huh, here I am. Wait, no.
Yeah,
I'm
how
not.
Hard is that? I just thought it was really dumb that almost everybody got Transfixitroned, and, you know, you jump in front of a bad guy or jump behind a bad guy. Could have fixed a lot of things. There was an awful lot of shooting people over mountains.
Or missing people over mountains, because again, this—I don't know if it's this one or the next one that we're going to talk about—but I noticed a lot of bad shooting again.
Well, there was some bad shooting, but there was literally, you know, shooting flyers out of the air, and they would fall and land behind a mountain or a hill or whatever. Or you hit Megatron, and he would fly up into the air and then fall. You know, because of like gravity, but he'd fall behind a mountain, and you know there wasn't as much Team Rocket going on this time, which
is always good. Now, no more Team Rocket.
Well, I mean, they kind of sail off into the sky.
No,
and then it's ding, they fall
to
the ground.
Steve, what do you have for this episode?
Yes. On that note, I like the episode, but at the same time, it's not really one that I care to watch over and over. I mean, yeah, it's cool for the dynamic of the show, but
I thought you'd like this one especially much because Megatron wins in the end.
Well, I mean, yeah, he does win, but he doesn't ultimately win.
Well, what do you mean? In this episode, or?
Well, he wins in the episode, but he doesn't ultimately win.
Oh, no. I mean, at the very end, he doesn't win, but I mean, as far as the war, he loses, but this particular battle, he wins.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode, he's coming out pretty much ahead. He doesn't have to worry about Cybertronian police coming to, you know, pick him up in prehistoric Earth.
Well, yeah.
I did like, now that you brought up Cybertronian police, I did like how they, plotted out Dinobot's character in this, because, you know, Dinobot, as he said in the episode, at the core, he is Predacon. And even though he and the Maximals have an alliance now on Cybertron, he's just another criminal.
Yeah, he was, one of those guys who stole the Golden Disk to begin with.
Yeah, I like that they're giving him, you know, we're seeing more sides to him. Other than just what I brought up earlier in this episode of, you know, him always wanting to fight, at least now that they're showing that he has more than just, you know, oh my god, I need to kill something now.
Yeah, no, there's definite motivations, you know, on several levels for him. And it's interesting because they don't just abandon the concept. In the next episode, it comes back.
Right.
He's like, you know what? I have no interest in going back to Cybertron and being thrown in jail.
Right.
I'm just not psyched about the idea.
No.
Unlike everybody else, who's like, woohoo!
Well, I mean, would you be excited to go home if you were known that you were going to be locked up as soon as you got back?
Yeah, you know, it's like, Well, you think he's going to be the big fish in the pond. You know, it's not like he's Rat Trap, who's going to get anally raped every day in prison.
Ouch, my ass!
Ass!
Well, I am going to throw Michael under the bus, considering his manhood is up on a pink shelf.
My manhood?
Yeah.
On the pink jar. Flowers? Yeah. See, that's why I can't go to prison.
Okay, on that note, I think we're going to move on.
I can't go to prison, man!
We're all gonna die! Wait, look! Down in the sky is the bird.
Maybe a plane.
Meh! It's Optimus!
Damage report.
In a word, busted. She won't fly again.
What about Rat Trap and Dinobot? Are they okay?
Man, you know, it's your fault that I ain't kicking back on Cybertron right now, you overgrown stinky iguana! I've done the planet a favor. Hey, you want me to show you just how Velociraptors got extinct?
They're taking it well.
Wouldn't want them any other way.
Go scurry through a maze, mouse. Yeah? Well, why don't you come and make me, lizard lips? If you wasn't inside that chamber...
And lastly up today, we have Victory. The Maximals witness a violent mutiny via spy camera placed within Predacon HQ. Megatron's subordinates refuse to follow orders. An abrupt firefight seemingly kills every Predacon. With the Beast Wars over and the Maximals secure the Predacon star drive, sorry, repair the Axelon and prepare to head home to Cybertron. I said to Michael off air that. And I tried to look at the wiki for more notes. I have two notes for this entire episode, only because when I started watching this, I did watch it two times. Once to get audio, and once to hopefully take some notes down. So you guys are going to have to carry the majority of this one, because I just started watching it because I started enjoying it way too much. First note is, Megatron sure gets hit in the face a lot. I mean, this entire series, his mouth is like jacked up almost every other episode.
That didn't happen till the end, though.
Yeah, but still. And then, again, going back to the other. There's actually two cultural references here. Cheetor in the beginning. See, aren't you glad we got Cable? Again, they're Transformers. They're stuck in prehistoric Earth. How the fuck do they know what fucking Cable is?
They're from the future, originally.
I know. Well, that's why I said in the beginning, yes, I understand the whole Beast Wars timeline, but they're on prehistoric Earth. Cable has not even been invented yet, has not even been thought of. And the other one,
It wouldn't have been as funny if he had said closed-circuit TV.
True. No, I mean, I get that they were going for the joke, but still, it's one of those things where, even though it is a nitpick on my part, it's just kind of like, what the hell? And of course, the other obvious reference was, look, up in the sky! It's Super Optimus!
It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Optimus!
I dug that.
No, I dug it. I thought it was cool, and I thought it was cool how they used the music for it as well, but... Yeah. Again, you know, it just goes to show you how... Now, granted, Superman can never really be dated. I mean, Superman's been around for, 70 years? Something like... Is 1938? You know, 70-something odd years?
Batman hasn't beat.
No. Batman doesn't beat.
According to me, he does.
Well, it's because he can breathe in space.
Batman...
Yeah, well, who cares?
Anyways, No, because Superman came out in 38, Batman came out in 39, so...
You know, it's easy to get you off track, you know that.
Shut the hell up. Damn it. Anyways, so those are my two notes. Michael, why don't you go with whatever you have about this one?
Okay. You missed one as far as cultural references, and that was when Dinobot quotes Shakespeare.
Oh, yes.
Alas, poor Tarantulas, I knew him well.
Uh-huh.
Which was funny, because he's, like, holding his... What was his legs?
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of his legs.
Why would he tear his own legs off? I mean, that's a... Or did he think
extra.
He has spare legs?
Well, it's like Waspinator.
Waspinator,
you just never know when you're going to run out of those parts. Mass produce them.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of creepy. He's like, look what I got. Woo. It's the legs. Actually, I was really surprised that Blanchard didn't mention this, because he has this horrible fear of spiders, and to have spider legs kind of waved at you like that would probably make him shit himself.
Shut up. That's because why. And you know what's funny? Looking at my little Robot Heroes Predacon Tarantulas, he has lobster claws.
I don't have mine in front of me, so I can't really say.
What, the toy?
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Lobster claws.
Well,
he's got to have hands, I suppose.
True.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I guess.
I think the whole thing should have been moot, though, to begin with, because they should have known better by watching the closed circuit video that Scorponok would never have turned on Megatron.
True.
I mean, he's had like four or five chances already, and each time he's like, oh no, I'm sticking with Megatron. So the fact that, you know, I mean, I could kind of see... I could definitely see Pterosaur doing it. And I could kind of see Tarantulas
doing it.
Definitely Waspinator. But, because he's too dumb to know any better. But I mean, as soon as Scorponok pulled out the missiles, I said, this is a bunch of crap. I knew what was up. And they should have known what was up.
Well, I think the thing about it is, though, while I do agree with you to a certain extent, the thing is, though, one of them tripped over the... And again, I know that the Maximals were in the Predacon base enough times, or, you know, in the last episode, where they had, time to plant a spy cam, but why would you have a cable from a spy cam out in the middle of the floor where somebody can fucking trip over it? That was the whole point. And I think that's why the leg was left behind, was to kind of say, oh, hey, yeah, maybe they did all go kablooey.
Yeah.
You know, so that was, it was a trick on the Predacons' part, but it was dumb of the Maximals not to keep their guard up.
Right. Well, you've got Rat Trap here, who's already proven that he's a ninja, and he can surf. He's a surf ninja.
I gotta add that movie to the MWire schedule.
Surf ninjas. And yet, I've never seen it, sorry. Rat Trap's leaving cables lying around when he's installing surveillance devices.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of strange.
Yeah, it was kind of dumb, actually.
I thought so, yeah. But the Predacons in the trench, for some reason, and they're bickering. It's like, stop touching me! I'm not touching you! Stop touching me! Stop not touching you! But it reminded me, not so much of a bunch of little kids in the back seat screaming at each other, but it reminded me of the Three Cursing Fish. The Cursing Fish? I think I sent you guys the link to the Three Cursing Fish last week, or last episode.
I have no clue.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
I stopped looking at links from you after Badgers. So.
Oh, Badgers rule.
Shut up.
Badgers.
Shut up.
Badgers,
shut up.
Washroom. Google three cursing fish, and it's not safe for work. It's funny as hell, though.
Well, good thing I work from home.
Not safe for home.
That's right. Yeah, I will send you the link that says, "I'm looking at porn, everybody." That's always fun. When you bring that up at work, and in a cube, no less.
I work in a used car dealership, and everybody would probably laugh their ass off.
Hey, I'm looking at porn over here. And it's funny, too, because the link actually says, "Be sure your speakers are turned up high." Bastards. Yeah. The ship, which I thought was cool, almost got out. It almost made escape velocity there. But, what are the odds of the ship landing right where it was before?
Well, it wasn't exactly where it was before. It was slightly over.
Yeah?
If you looked at it.
Was it the better spot this time? Or?
Well, this is the reason why, because where it was placed before, it was completely on regular land, whereas this is on part of that bridge, which is why the base gets decimated in optimal situation later on.
Ah. Well, probably less chance of Black Arachnia burrowing up through the tunnels underneath it this way.
No, it happens again.
I was wondering if maybe, Optimus kind of maneuvered it there on purpose on his way down.
Well, I think he was trying to keep it on land.
Or at least keep it from smashing into the ground.
Oh, okay, that's another thing. While I liked and I laughed at the Superman reference.
Yeah, there's no way in hell he
Optimus Primal, yeah. Optimus Primal is not Superman. He does not have an extrasensory-powered body by Earth's yellow sun. You know, come on.
But he is Prime's descendant.
It doesn't... Dude, Optimus Prime is not Superman. I'm sorry.
I'm not sure if Optimus Prime could do that. I don't know. You think Optimus Prime could fly up and carry a ship back to Earth?
Optimus Prime can't even fly.
Wrong, actually.
No, he borrowed it.
Yeah, he borrowed it from Sideswipe. But going back to...
He never gave it back.
Well, see, the problem with...
But it never reappeared.
It's like Sideswipe, don't be an Indian giver. You gave it to me, it's mine now.
The problem with the G1 Autobots is that they could fly in the first three episodes.
Was it the first three or just the first two?
No, it was the first one. It was More Than Meets the Eye, Part 1. Could fly, the Decepticons could fly. By Episode 2, the Autobots lost their flying abilities.
Yeah.
They pooped the flying ship.
Oh, God.
Who lets them fly? And they could swim, too. I don't think they should be allowed to swim, to be honest. I think they're too heavy.
Yeah,
by the end of this show, the Dinobot Rat Trap banter reaches an all-time high.
You know,
they kind of bicker a little bit here, but here, they go on for a good 2 minutes straight.
They're the odd couple.
Well, very odd. But I mean, this is probably the first time that I've seen them really go at it for an extended period. I mean, to the point where Rat Trap's even like, man, I'm trying to get him to, bite my head off, and he just won't.
Well, and that's the thing, like I said before, they're showing that Dinobot actually does have some emotions, especially the fact that, as I said a second ago, or a little while ago, or 12 and a half minutes ago, or whatever, he is a Predacon. And if he goes back to Cybertron, his ass is going to be put in jail. So,
well, no, but I mean, as far as the Dinobot Rat Trap diatribe.
No, I know, and that's why Rat Trap doesn't understand, because as far as, what's wrong with him? That's why.
Oh, no, I understand that he was upset because he thought, oh, man, I'm just going to go back and get put in jail. But the fact that, the fact they're bringing up the fact that Rat Trap's trying to push his buttons.
Yeah.
And normally, he would bite, literally, right. And figuratively and literally. But And then by the end of the episode, you know, they're back at it. But when they go back at it, it's a very long conversation where they each, you know, say two or three things back and forth to each other. What's really interesting, and I probably brought this up before, but if you see Scott McNeil in person when he's doing Rat Trap and Dinobot back and forth,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't stop to breathe.
Right. I mean, you told me that.
Yeah, it's really cool how he does it. And where did I read it somewhere where he a quote from him was, you know, anyone else would consider this to be a debilitating mental illness, and yet he's turned it into a lucrative career.
Exactly.
Or you argue with yourself in different voices.
Hey, well, I do that quite often.
I was just going to say, Steve does that quite often, but he doesn't get paid for it, unfortunately.
I would.
See, in that case, it's a debilitating mental illness.
Wow, zing!
Sorry, that mark.
Bazinga! You resemble that remark.
Yeah.
In your own mind.
Oh, boy.
I know what you are, but what am I?
This is what you're doing. This is what I want you to do. Any questions?
Oh, the last thing I was going to say is that the when the ship was taking off, it made this really cool creaking noise, like yep. the Titanic sinking.
Yep.
And I thought
in
that
reverse.
Was awesome. In reverse even, yeah. So when it fell back to the ground, it didn't make any noise at all, except for Superman theme music. But when it was taking off, it was really, really cool. I dug it.
Yes. Steve, what are your thoughts on Victory?
I think it's a pretty cool episode. I like the whole, you know, plundering the enemy base and having them hide underground, trying to get the advantage. Like, yeah, we'll let him go. Because Megatron has other plans, but he never actually was going to let them go. The other thing that kind of irked me about that episode is how the hell is he going to run, jump, and grab onto one of those really, really thin pieces of metal that are holding down below on the ship, and then all of a sudden he's on the bridge of the Axelon?
He crawled up through the landing gear.
Yeah, it never actually showed how he got on the ship, though.
Well, it shows him jump onto that metal rod that's supposedly landing gear.
No, I think the metal rods were there to kind of hold up the front of the ship because it was kind of at a weird angle.
Yeah.
But he kind of, he made the diehard leap and grabbed a hold of it with his really sharp teeth that just happened to be in his hand.
Hands he said, metal floss.
Metal floss.
Mm,
oh God!
This is where the Grimlock sound clip would come in.
Crunchy.
Was that Grover?
Yeah, it was a combination of Grover and Yoda.
It's Yoda. Frank Oz for the win. But yeah, I think he actually chewed his way through the bottom of the ship.
Okay, well. On that note, do we have anything else that we want to say about this last episode today?
Silence. We need the audio
Batman.
We need chirping. Chirp, chirp.
No, you are not the goddamn Batman.
No, Kevin Conroy is, but...
Yes, exactly. But anyway, that's a whole other topic not related to Transformers.
And no. I can breathe in space.
This has been a very, very episode.
I know. Well, yeah.
Here's technical and animation glitches. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Alright, it says, when Dinobot is shot by Megatron's forces, he falls. After the cutaway to Primal, it pans out to show Dinobot floating on the ground for a few seconds.
Dinobot is Jesus.
I didn't see any floating.
I didn't either. I'd have to go back and look.
I need to pay attention to that because that would be hilarious to get a screen cap of the magical dino fly.
Most likely it wasn't even floating. It was just like they forgot to put the shadow underneath him and it looked
Or they forgot to put ground underneath him.
Wow.
Well, no. The ground's probably beneath him. There's probably just no you know, no visual cue that he's on the ground, as opposed to floating above it. I don't know. Yeah. I have to go back and look, but it doesn't seem to me like that. And
as
I read
as the Axelon continue.
I was going to say that in the wiki they talk about the ship being busted 1 second and not busted the other, and I didn't notice any of that either.
Yes, it says as the Axelon is falling from the sky, the ship itself is flipped. It says the antennas and such are normally on the port side of the ship, however during the fall they're on the starboard side.
Didn't even notice.
That's somebody with too much free time that can find all these little tiny issues. Like, because I completely overlook most of them.
Yeah, I didn't see. All I saw was this big blob, this amorphous blob. And again, I think the problem is that they just, I don't want to say, didn't put a lot of thought into the design of the ship. But the model, the 3D model of the ship is just kind of amorphous. You know, you really can't tell what the hell is going on with this ship.
No.
Or I can't, at least. I'm sure somebody does, because they're saying, oh, clearly the antennas are on the wrong side.
Like, that could be.
How do you know the whole thing didn't flip over?
It's kind of like turning Waspinator inside out and upside down. His antennas would be on his ass.
Yeah. Doesn't that happen in one episode?
I don't know!
And now a word from our sponsor.
This is the quote of episode 4.
Aww, do you need a hug?
You are listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast.
Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. The first is you can visit www.geekcastradio.com and find all the other podcasts there. The second is you can stop by predaconempire.com/nexus. Those are our forums. And the third is you can leave the show feedback in iTunes. I'd like to take a quick moment to say, please leave us feedback in iTunes. I just checked all of the GCRN shows, and there has been not any new feedback in a while, so start leaving feedback.
Damn it.
Shut up, Steve. We now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say which show you're leaving the message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. We have
That's also welcome.
No, it's not. No.
I do not endorse the words of Michael Wilson on this.
Yeah, exactly. Like the old man.
If you are prone to wearing seeker outfits and you're female, please call and tell us all about your seeker outfits.
Oh. Pictures are welcome.
Twitter. The Twitter name here is Beast Unleashed. Mine is TFG and Mike. Michael, what is your Twitter?
Pecan Court Michael.
Steve?
SCP-21.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast. Join us next time when we will be reviewing 3 more episodes from Beast Wars Season 1, those being Dark Designs, Double Dinobot, and The Spark. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson
and Megatron.
Close the show, Megatron.
Boil them, mash them, stick them in the stew.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. God, son of a bitch.
This is Megatron, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Oh, yes.